Welcome to this special edition of This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt. Our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Megan Hyatt Miller, COO of Michael Hyatt and Company, and joining me in our conversation today is our CEO and my dad, Michael Hyatt. Hey, Dad.
Hey, Meg. Great to be with you.
It's so fun to be here together again.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, for the last 2 weeks, we've been airing a special edition of the podcast, and this is the third and final episode in that mini-series that we've been doing on goal setting before we launch a whole new podcast in the new year, right?
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. So we've been on hiatus, except for this special edition. We're going to be doing a new podcast that's going to be produced completely differently than we did in the past, but we're actually thinking about rebranding it. This podcast will remain on iTunes with the deep archive that people can go back to. But the new podcast is going to be so different and so exciting that we're thinking about giving it an entirely new name. And that's going to launch after the first of the year.
Man, I'm so excited about that. I can't wait to reveal that to our listeners.
Yeah, me too.
So with just 2 weeks left, though, until the end of this year, you might be starting to think about setting goals for the new year. But for many of us, there's something holding us back. We can't quite put our finger on it, but something is making us hesitate. I know I've experienced that before, and I bet we all have. You have a guess about what that thing is that's tripping us up, don't you, Dad?
Yeah, it's usually some negative emotion or emotions associated with goal setting. You know, maybe we've tried and failed, or maybe we were reprimanded when we missed a big goal. Maybe our boss took us to task, or our spouse said to us, I knew you weren't going to accomplish that.
Or maybe we just said it to ourselves.
Yeah, maybe we said it to ourselves, shamed ourselves. So yeah, these negative emotions can be a powerful negative influence on us.
I think you're really right. As you mentioned, we all know what it's like to hesitate because we're afraid of disappointment. This is a really big problem. But all of our greatest achievements and accomplishments are waiting for us on the other side of that hesitation. At some point, you have to move past it and just jump in order to succeed. So today we'll discuss four negative emotions that stop us from pursuing our goals. And you're going to show us how to overcome them, right?
Yeah, I am. And I think this is an important life lesson. It's not just related to goal setting. But if we're going to really be able to make progress in our life, if we're going to design the life we want, we've got to learn to reframe negative emotions. Hmm. We've got to learn to manage those emotions. And I think sometimes we feel like we're the victim of the emotions.
Sure.
So, you know, we wake up in the morning and we don't feel energetic. Or we wake up or we think about accomplishing a big goal and we feel afraid.
Yeah.
Or we feel doubt when we've been asked to do something we've never done before. But the secret to really making progress, the secret to success, is to be able to transform those negative emotions into positive emotion that will actually propel us, use it like jet fuel to propel us toward our goals. And again, this is a key life lesson.
I love that. Okay, so let's start with the first of the four emotions. What's that?
Yeah, the first one is fear. And here's the deal. Everybody I've ever met experiences fear.
Yeah.
Again, in corporate settings, especially during the recession, when businesses were failing, those of us who were leading business were laying off people, we were missing our goals left and right. Maybe we had investors or bankers that were breathing fire on us. You know, it was easy to be fearful. I mean, I laid in bed many a night afraid. Scared to death, really, terrified, not knowing how I was going to get through this economic situation. And when I would ask leaders, do any of you feel fear? You know, be honest, but in the middle of the night when nobody's watching, do you feel afraid? And almost every hand would go up. And these are some of the most accomplished, successful people that you could ever meet. And those people felt fear. And I think part of what is so dangerous and so debilitated about fear is that we think we're alone. We think there must be some defect in us that we feel afraid. I know I went through a business failure in the early 90s, and it was catastrophic. It was very disheartening. I was publicly embarrassed. I felt terrible with my family. We had people bringing us groceries, you know, friends from church bringing us groceries. It was humiliating. I was very ashamed of that whole thing. And so years later, when I started about launching out of my business, that failure, all that fear came back because of that failure. And it was present to me as I thought about starting a new business because I thought, you know, I tried it before and it didn't work. And maybe I just don't have what I need in order to succeed. So I could viscerally feel the fear.
Wow.
And so fear is one of those emotions that we need to take control of. And here's the thing that I realized in interviewing lots and lots of leaders, probably hundreds by now, is that almost all of them feel fear, but courage is not the absence of fear. It's crucially important. It's the courage to act in spite of our fear.
That's really good news for those of us who struggle with fear or anxiety, which is a lot of what we're talking about today, that the end game is not that we don't feel it. It's really about choosing to not, as I often have said to you, you know, kind of like hook yourself to the crazy train.
That's right.
You know, that we can have that emotion, but it doesn't have to run our lives. We can act in spite of it. And that's a really hopeful thing, I think.
Yeah, it is. And I'm not a psychologist or a psychotherapist, but I've learned enough from him because of the thousands of dollars I paid him through the years to work on me, is that one of the best things you can do is detach from those emotions and notice them.
Right.
But don't be so gripped by them that they affect you in a really negative way. So one of the things now is when I feel that fear, like for example, if I'm going to do a public speaking engagement or I'm going to take on some new project, like this summer, we created this new Free to Focus course, which was daunting. Biggest course we ever created, most involved. I honestly didn't know if I had what it would take to do it. And I thought, okay, every success I've had up until this point, this was the fear, has been a fluke. This time, I'm going to fall flat on my face. I'm not going to be able to pull it off. I'm not going to be able to finish. But as I noticed that, I just said, oh, that's because I'm in the discomfort zone.
Yep.
You know, this is uncomfortable because I'm exactly where I need to be. I'm trying to create something new that I've never created before, that's a little bit outside of my skill level, that's a little bit outside of my experience, and it's requiring something of me that I've never had to call forth before. And I just noticed it without getting sucked under the toe of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so as I noticed that, I thought, okay, here's the most important thing. Instead of letting fear defeat me, I'm going to be courageous and I'm going to act. When it comes to public speaking, it might be as simple as stepping up on the stage. Here's the funny thing about public speaking. People say, by the way, that they would rather die than speak publicly.
I think I've said that myself at some point.
Well, yeah, here you are. It's like the number one fear that people identify as their number one fear.
Right.
Okay.
Shark attacks are nothing compared to this.
Totally. Just don't get me up in front of a bunch of people. I always feel afraid. And when I say feel afraid, my hands get cold and clammy. This is like too much information, but my armpits start sweating. I have a little more control of that than I used to. But back in the corporate environment, I would sometimes wear two t-shirts.
Wow.
Just so people wouldn't know. Because I was scared to death. So when I'm speaking publicly, I'm afraid right up until the point I step on stage and I realize I'm up there all alone. And then it's awesome.
Yeah.
Then I'm lost in the moment. I'm focused on the audience. And there's some tricks there too. I could talk about, but I won't. But yeah, so I'm not afraid once I get up there. But that's normal. Now, here's another thing about fear. If I didn't feel that fear, I would really be afraid.
Right.
Because fear is my body's way of preparing me for peak performance. It focuses my mind. It gets everything headed in the same direction. I'm no longer distracted. I'm focused on solving the problem or delivering the result.
Wow.
So fear can be incredibly beneficial.
You can actually harness the power of it.
You totally can. So we have to learn to see it as a positive thing, not a negative thing. We have to embrace it, lean into it. So it's very rare that fear is a dangerous thing. Like, I'm not saying if you're walking, you know, downtown in the middle of the night and you hear footsteps behind you that you should just, you know, turn around and lean into the fear. But those are very rare.
We're really talking, though, about anxiety, which is different than visceral fear for your life, for example. And that's a different kind of a fear.
Totally. And we're talking about it in the context of pursuing big goals.
Right.
So first time I wrote a book, this is crazy. This is back in the 90s, too. So I was like rejected 30 times for this book proposal. 30 publishers said no. Finally, the last one, the last hope, said yes. I don't know how we talked them into it, but we did. I had a good agent. And so they said yes. Man, I rejoiced for about 5 minutes. I thought, this is incredible. I got a book deal. And then I thought, what? Now I've got to write the book? Oh my gosh. And I was like terrified. I didn't know where to go with that. Hmm. Now, for a lot of people in setting a goal, they'll set a big goal like that, like writing a book, or maybe it's a relational goal. Hmm. Like they really want to improve their marriage. They realize that that if they continue on the current trajectory with their marriage, they're going to end up divorced or end up killing each other. I mean, and they realize something's got to change, but they're scared because maybe it requires a level of vulnerability, or maybe it requires that they have to learn some new skills because they probably suspect that it's not just the spouse's problem, but they're part of the problem. It may require some personal work, you know, getting a therapist or a counselor to help you get through it. But all I'm saying is that fear is a really good thing.
Yep.
It's where you're going to experience the breakthrough is on the other side of that fear. Every good thing you want in life is on the other side of fear.
Hmm.
I'm going to say it again. Every good thing you want in life is on the other side of fear. The only thing that is keeping you from getting that is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And its express purpose is to keep you from getting what you want. But it's also, if you view it rightly, it's there to test you and make you better.
And its energy can be harnessed to propel you forward toward the accomplishment of your goal, which I think is super important. So what you really said here today is that fear can be a friend and not an enemy. If we think of it that way, then it can be a powerful tool to achieving our goal and shouldn't be one of the four negative emotions that cause us to hesitate or to fear setting goals.
That's right. And so again, we have to learn to harness that, and we have to stay detached and notice it and just say, oh, it's that fear thing again. And we don't have to let it, and this is key, spiral to where we go into this kind of doom loop of going from fear to frightened to terrified to panic attack to I can't do anything.
Right.
Now, by the way, we should probably say this just to be responsible. There are people that legitimately suffer with anxiety who need clinical help.
Right.
Right.
And that's not what we're talking about.
That's not what we're talking about. So if you're in that situation, get help.
Absolutely.
You know, the help is available. You don't have to suffer with that. There are people that can help you. So.
Absolutely. We're really talking about that in the context of goal setting today,
which
is different. Okay. So that was the first negative emotion that could cause you to hesitate and be afraid of setting goals. What's the second?
It's uncertainty. And for some reason, we think if we're uncertain, we're not clear about the path to get from where we are to where we want to be, that there's something wrong with us. Maybe we're not smart enough. We're not wise enough. We don't have enough experience, whatever it is. But uncertainty can also be our friend.
So you're really saying that someone might not want to set a goal that is a really important goal because they don't know how they're going to get there. So they're just sort of paralyzed in the fact that they don't have a plan, even though they know what they want, they don't have a plan. So they don't really want to set the goal because of that.
Well, and I'll say it even more strongly. The path will not appear until you get clear on the destination.
Hmm.
So like, think about it in any area of life. You know, let's just say you're going to take a beach vacation. And for us living in Nashville, Tennessee, we often go down to the Florida Panhandle, to the Destin area. But until I decide that I want to go to Destin, my GPS system can't help me.
Right.
You know, it's basically, why don't you just get in your car and start driving? Because any path will do. Since you haven't figured out the destination, just go for a drive. But once you figure out the destination and are brave enough to settle on a destination, there's a lot of different ways to get there. My friend Andy Andrews says it this way. He said, you're confused right up until the point you're not.
I love that.
So the problem is that most of us bail out rather than allowing ourselves to be confused and to say to ourselves, you know what? I don't know how to accomplish that, but it's okay. Now, here's why it's okay. One, you'll figure it out as you go.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's just say that I'm looking across, you know, 100 yards at a sign that I can't read because it's outside of my ability to see. One of the best ways to get clarity on the sign is to move in the direction of the sign.
Right.
Right. So the path will become clear as you move towards the object you're pursuing. Same thing with the goal. So you could set a goal and you could say, I want to start a nonprofit organization that's focused on building schools in Africa, as our friend Stu McLaren did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can promise you, when Stu set that goal, he didn't have a clue how to do that. He probably didn't even know anybody in Africa, but it didn't stop him. He set the goal because he had it on his heart and really wanted to do it. And then the path became clear. Not all at once. That's rarely how it happens. But one step at a time. And so uncertainty is a natural emotion, if you can call it that, in pursuing a big goal. First time I wrote a book, I didn't know how to do it. You know, even though I'd coached hundreds, probably thousands by then of writers, I wasn't sure how I could write a book, how I could find my voice, what was going to be my workflow in actually achieving that book. Before I spoke publicly, remember the first time I ever spoke publicly was 18. It was in a church and I was a summer missionary. And the pastor said to me, by the way, you're going to be preaching Sunday night. I'm leaving town this weekend and you're going to be preaching Sunday night.
People right now are actually having panic attacks.
Oh my gosh. About this. I mean, it scared me to death. I tried to argue with him. I said, I've never preached before. I mean, you got to give me a ramp up. I need some instruction. He said, you'll do fine. And that was literally all he said. You'll do fine. I was terrorized every day of that week. I prepared. When I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing during the day, I was preparing. I was preparing to the wee hours of night. I was scared to death. And I survived it. I'm here today. But I was uncertain how to do it. But it didn't stop me. Mm-hmm. Now, that was not exactly a goal that I set for myself.
Right.
That was externally imposed. But all I'm saying is that if you feel uncertainty, that shouldn't disqualify you from pursuing a meaningful goal.
Well, in fact, one of the things that you talk about in your course, 5 Days to Your Best Year Ever, is that over-planning and having it all figured out can
totally
be a negative, not a positive, because people end up procrastinating.
Well, the other thing they do, they only do stuff they can figure out.
Right.
Which most of the important stuff in life, you don't have a clue how to do it.
Right.
Like when you suddenly had kids, did you know what you were doing?
No, I'm not sure I know now, actually. But I do know a little more than I did on the first day.
Well, I can tell you this. I'm a grandfather, and I still don't know.
Right.
But I thank God that I was willing to embark on the task of parenthood
right.
so that I have 5 wonderful daughters and 8 grandchildren today. Mm-hmm. But I was uncertain at the beginning.
Yep.
When I married your mom 38 and a half years ago, I was uncertain about what it meant to be a good husband. Mm-hmm. Thankfully, I don't even think I asked the question. I just thought I'd figure out as I go along. So the point of this when it comes to goal setting is that uncertainty doesn't disqualify you from setting a big goal, something that's really important that you want to accomplish. In fact, that should be an indicator to you that you're on the right track. Again, if you feel fear, awesome. If you feel uncertainty, double awesome. These are positive indicators that you're on the right track and that you're setting a goal that's going to be really meaningful when you accomplish it.
Fantastic. Okay, so that was uncertainty, which is one of the 4 negative emotions that people often experience when they're hesitating about setting goals. Hey, Dad, before we go to finish the last 2 here, let's take a quick break because you have a special opportunity that you wanted to mention, right?
I do. Every year around this time, I hear people reflect on the past year and often express regret that it didn't go exactly the way they thought it would.
Right.
Maybe they procrastinated or they were hit with unexpected life events or they got distracted from what was important. But no matter what happened, they hope for this next year to be different.
Yep. I think we all wish that we could change a few things about the past year at least and make the next one better.
Yep. And that's why I'm excited to tell you about this special training opportunity. It's a free webinar that I'm hosting coming up. It's called 7 Steps for Taking Control of 2017. It's all about using goal setting to design the life you want. We'll talk about how to quit-proof your goals.
I love that.
I love that too. How to defeat procrastination and avoid getting overwhelmed. 2017 can really be different. And this webinar will empower you to take control of it. And you can sign up for it at bestyearever.me/7steps. bestyearever.me/7steps. Now, it's going to fill up quickly. And I'm not just saying that because all of our webinars typically fill up and then people get angry because they can't get in. But we're just telling you now, this is going to fill up. It's going to, I would say sell out, but it's free. But it's going to fill up. So you got to take action and register. You can't get in without registration.
All right. So that is bestyearever.me/7steps. And again, that's happening this week. So you want to sign up. It sure does sound fantastic. And with that, let's head back into our conversation about the real reason that we're afraid to set goals. Okay. So my dad is helping us identify the 4 negative emotions that keep us from pursuing our most important goals. By identifying and reframing these emotions, we can move forward in spite of our hesitation and get busy achieving our desires. We've talked about the first two, which are fear and uncertainty, but now we're going to cover the final two. Dad, what's number three?
Number three is doubt.
Ah, this is a good one.
This is a good one. It's really centered around doubt about ourselves.
Right. Can now, I do it?
Can I do it? Do I have what it takes?
Yep.
And here's how I think most of us think. We think everybody else is smarter than we are, more experienced, better equipped. Maybe they have better contacts.
More resources.
More resources. And here we are, and we don't have all that stuff. And again, I just want to say that this is an indicator that we're exactly where we need to be in pursuing a big goal, because every big goal makes you feel that way. It creates self-doubt. And I know that one of the things that makes this emotion so debilitating is we think we're the only ones that are experiencing it.
Right.
And it's not true. Again, I've asked people, hundreds of people, this question, do you ever struggle with self-doubt? The only people that don't, frankly, are narcissists.
We don't want to be those guys.
We don't want to be those guys. Everybody else says, well, of course. And I'm like, well, but you fake it so well. You know, you don't look like you have any self-doubt at all.
I mean, literally everyone struggles with this.
Everybody struggles with
this. We have been mentoring a group of guys, coaching super successful entrepreneurs. And one of my favorite parts of the last year as we went through that program was hearing them share over and over again how often they struggle with this issue of self-doubt. I mean, it does not matter how successful you are or what you've accomplished in the past. Anytime you set a new and bigger goal, you're going to have self-doubt. It's just part of it.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things you said to me before that I still just chuckle out thinking about it is nobody thinks about you more than you think about you. You know, it's like everybody at a mixer is thinking about themselves and how, you know, they don't really belong in the room.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, you know, it's like imposter syndrome.
Right.
Right. And I remember one of the most debilitating emotions I felt right after I was elected by the board of directors and then the shareholders of Thomas Nelson Publishers to become the CEO. The first thing I thought, I mean, I looked calm, cool, and collected on the outside. I looked the part. You know, I had my best suit on. You know, I was articulate. But inside, I'm thinking to myself, it's only a matter of time before they figure out that I don't know what I'm doing.
You're like a 12-year-old in a middle school dance.
That's so true. And I mean, for literally the first couple of years that I was the CEO, I felt completely over my head.
Sure.
So one of the funny things that happened was that I had to go to New York after we sold the company. And I had to go to New York to make a presentation to about 150 investment bankers, commercial bankers, that were all in a room on Wall Street. And I thought, this is incredible. I've never had a single course in finance or accounting. I understand them pretty well as a result of working in business for my whole career. But I can't talk about this stuff at this level, right? And, you know, I had my little slideshow and all that, but I'm just scared to death. I mean, I could have been walking out there half-dressed in terms of how I felt for all that mattered. But I did fine. You know, what they picked up on was the enthusiasm and the love I had for the business. But that kind of doubt is normal. You know, our mutual coach, Dan Sullivan, says that there's a difference between confidence and courage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So they look exactly the same on the outside. You know, you meet those people at those mixers and you think, all these people are confident. Most of them are actually being courageous. And here's the difference. Courage, as I said earlier, is the ability to act in spite of our fear. So they're terrified on the inside, calm, cool, and collected on the outside. It looks like confidence, but it's just courage. They're not letting their fear hold them back or their self-doubt hold them back. They're showing up, doing what they need to do, and trusting that as they do that, they'll grow in confidence. And that's exactly what happens. So now I've been talking about public speaking because that's a really scary thing that a lot of us have had experience with. But now I'm pretty confident. You know, I feel scared, but I don't have the same level of self-doubt. You know, I kind of, in the back of my mind, I might think before I step on stage, I wonder if this is the time when I'm going to fall flat on my face or I'm going to forget my outline or forget where I am or forget that story or forget the punchline or not end it well or whatever. But it never happens.
Right.
And so now what I think, and this is the difference between confidence and courage, where I used to step up on the stage by faith, overcoming my fear, now I step up thinking, you know what? I've done this hundreds of times and I've never fallen on my face and it's going to be okay. May not be the best speech I ever give, but I'm going to do just fine. And so the self-doubt gets dialed down.
And the same is true with goal setting, because at the beginning, you don't have all those deposits of times that you've shown up and accomplished goals necessarily. You may have not been tracking them in the way that we're talking about now until recently. But over time, after you do start tracking them and you hit some big goals and you get a little more confidence and a few more and a few more and a few more, then all of a sudden it's like you have a bank of confidence to stand on. But in the earlier stages, for most of us, we're really developing that confidence. And that looks like allowing ourselves to feel self-doubt and to just almost even welcome that as part of what it means to set goals that are outside of our comfort zone. It's just another indicator that we're on the right track.
And it's very much like fear is, and that is we just need to notice it without freaking out about it.
Right.
And to realize you're not alone. Mm-hmm. Everybody feels this. I can't remember if it might've been Frank Sinatra who till the day he died would throw up before he stepped on stage.
Wow.
This is like one of the most accomplished singers ever. Hmm. You know, had this illustrious career, enormous success, and still had self-doubt. But he didn't let it stand in the way of accomplishing really big goals. So maybe today, as you're listening to this podcast, maybe you're thinking, maybe you have doubt around, you know, can you really be the husband you need to be to your wife, or the wife you need to be to your husband? Or can you really be the parent? Oh my gosh, there's one in self-doubt, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that one ever goes away.
Yeah, I mean, you just feel like it's going to be a miracle if I don't totally screw these kids up. Mm-hmm. and I just say, you know, as you're saving for college and as you're saving for weddings, save for counseling.
That's right.
But yeah, so self-doubt is just a normal thing. Or if you're thinking, I really want to launch this business, but I don't know if I have what it takes. Or I really want to write this book, but I don't know if I have what it takes. Or I want this promotion, but I don't know if I have what it takes. Congratulations, you're normal. Mm-hmm. I would worry about you if you didn't have that self-doubt. But the fact that you have that self-doubt does not give you a pass to not pursue that goal.
That's right. So all you really need to do is know the next step. And if you know the next step, that's all you need to know. And most of us have the clarity and the confidence to know what the next step is. And that's really all we need to know to get going forward.
That's right.
Okay, so that was the third negative emotion that we often feel when considering pursuing important goals. And the final one, number four, is kind of a tricky one. It's kind of like sometimes the underlying emotion that's behind these other three. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, this fourth negative emotion is shame. And that's when we kind of rehearse in our mind some failure that we experienced, some negative circumstance that we went through.
Often a lot of them.
Often a lot of them. And we assume full responsibility for it, mm-hmm. which is usually not a bad thing. But then it inhibits us from moving forward. Mm-hmm. We're just ashamed of what happened in the past. And so it holds us back from pursuing the future. Like when I went through my business failure, that was a shaming experience, mm-hmm. right? So we've got to be careful with that. I think Brené Brown is a tremendous resource. And, you know, I'm always at a little bit of a loss as to which book to refer people to, but I would refer people to her workshop on vulnerability, which you can get at audible.com. Mm-hmm. Have you listened to that?
I have. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So she's just basically given a workshop. I think it was like at a church in Houston. Mm-hmm. And she talks about shame and what it does to us. Mm-hmm. And actually, when we get ashamed, and here's where this often happens. We try to pursue a goal in the past. We failed at it, and we feel ashamed. And so now we don't want to try again.
Yep.
Like maybe we've tried to lose weight in the past, or we've tried to get in shape, or we tried to conquer an anger problem, or maybe we tried to stop smoking. I mean, it could be a gazillion different things. Mm-hmm. But we feel ashamed because we've not dealt with that past item and kind of reconciled ourselves to it. And it's really hard to turn the page until we do.
Mm-hmm. I think that's so important. Wow. Okay. So that's a big one. That's number four in our list of negative emotions that keep us from pursuing important goals. The list of four, again, are fear, uncertainty, doubt, and shame. So I don't want to leave people there because that's kind of a negative place to end. But as we conclude this episode, I want to just talk for a second about courage. And when we face these four negative emotions and we wrestle with the fear of disappointment, it's going to take some courage to keep moving forward. So are there any specific steps that we can take to quiet our fears and remember why our goals are worth pursuing in spite of the risks?
Yeah, I want to just say to people, and this is really why we're talking about this topic, I see so many people who don't experience the life they could have because they let one of these emotions sabotage them.
Right.
Or derail them or hold them back. I don't want that to be you. You could have an extraordinary 2017. You were made for more. This is your time. And as I said, everything you want is on the other side of fear. I'd say that's probably the dominant emotion that people mm-hmm. struggle with. But it really takes courage. And so what I want to just talk about for a minute is some practical steps for being courageous in the moment when mm-hmm. you feel that fear. I let fear be almost like a magnet on true north that keeps the needle pointed in the right direction. And here's what I mean by that, is that if I feel fear, I know that that usually means that's something I need to move toward. So if there's a difficult conversation that I'm afraid of having, that's probably the difficult conversation I need to have. Mm-hmm. If I feel fear that I'm going to fail again, I probably need to get up and try it again. My dad bought me a horse when I was about 5 years old. It was just a little pony. And I got on the horse for the first time, and my dad slapped it on the rump. The horse took off. I didn't have a saddle on it. I was holding it by the mane. And I fell off. And we were in a freshly plowed field, so I landed on soft dirt. I mean, there was not a big deal.
You weren't very high off the ground either.
That's right.
That helped.
But I was crying.
Sure.
And I did not want to get back on the horse. I was afraid of the horse. My dad grabbed me. He listened to me, wiped the tears off my face, put me right back on that horse. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Yep.
Because I have no fear of horses. But I'm just saying that's how you have to be with your fear. You got to lean in the direction of the fear. If you feel afraid, then don't just go, oh, just dismiss it out of hand. Or you can't let it make you procrastinate or even hesitate. But when you feel that fear, when you feel uncertainty, doubt, or shame, that's an indicator to you that you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. So embrace that. Let that be your guide and lean into it.
That's great. Another powerful tool to overcome fear is to have clarity. And just as a reminder, that's one of the things that people will get when they join you for your free webinar this week that's called 7 Steps for Taking Control of 2017. You're going to outline a very simple path that helps people to overcome their fear and to know exactly what their next steps are, which is very empowering. So just a reminder, you can sign up for that. Again, it's free at bestyourever.me/7steps. bestyourever.me/7steps. You want to make sure you sign up for that because it always fills up to the point that nobody else can get in. So we don't want that to happen to you. And if you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and a full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. And will you do us a favor before you go today? I promise it's only going to take 30 seconds. Will you head over to iTunes and rate this podcast? This is huge for us in terms of improving our rankings in iTunes and keeping the show visible so others can discover it and be helped by the content. And with that, Dad, do you have any final thoughts today before we go?
Yeah, 2017 is a white canvas. It hasn't happened yet. It's in the future. It's not history. No matter what you've experienced up until this point in your life, everything can change going forward. You really can design the life you want. And it can start with next year. And this webinar that we've been talking about is a great place to set you up for a great 2017.
Awesome. And just as a reminder, that 7 Steps for Taking Control of 2017 registration can be found at bestyourever.me/7steps. Dad, thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you, Meg.
And thanks to all of you for joining us today. Until next time, remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.